Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to everyone in an effort to help them awaken to universal truth. If you want to learn about spirituality, the occult, and all things related to metaphysics, you are in the right place. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. I hope everybody is doing well these days and is enjoying the holiday season. Today's episode is going to be all about discernment, discerning your right teachers, your tribe, and even just discerning through your own intuition. I do think that this topic gets overlooked often, or at least it's not really discussed in this community. When you start to join a spiritual or psychic or intuitive path or healing path or what have you, it can be quite difficult to discern what's for your highest good, discerning the intentions of others, what direction to take, and even what path is right, etc. So I thought this would be super helpful to have this conversation today. I wanted to kick this off by defining what discernment actually is. So discernment is defined as the quality of being able to grasp and comprehend what is obscure, an act of perceiving something, a power to see what is not evident in the average mind. This definition, I think, also kind of stresses accuracy, as in the ability to see the truth. Discernment is also the ability to make discriminating judgments, to distinguish between and recognize the moral implications of different situations and courses of actions. It kind of includes the ability to weigh up and assess the moral and spiritual status of individuals, groups, and even movements. Just even given those definitions, you can see the importance of discernment. I mean, not just at a spiritual level, if you will, but in everyday life. Let's discuss discernment in reference to determining your own right path. To determine your right path or even your right direction, you always have to begin by asking yourself, what am I seeking and why? And of course, very importantly, how can I serve? These are all such important questions to ask at the beginning of your journey and of course, to ask throughout. This should speak to your intentions, what you're hoping to learn, or some people would say what you were hoping to even gain, and I guess so to a certain degree. Let's say, for example, there's a lesson that you're struggling with and maybe, you know, there's something that you want to learn there. That also can speak to, you know, what I'm seeking and why. Are you trying to improve something in your life, or do you feel a call to do something? Many people feel called, you know, and onto a certain path. Some people feel called to be healers. Some people feel called to be teachers, even though I think we're all teachers to some degree. Some people feel called to be, I don't know, I'm just thinking like yoga instructors or to be mediums, etc. Some people feel that like inner call, or perhaps there are signs that they're seeing to kind of move in that direction. Additionally, and I think this is very important, you have to really try to discern your motives every step of the way and to be very honest about why you're doing what you're doing. So even if you are asking yourself this question, what am I seeking and why, it's important that you be very honest with yourself. Some people can delude themselves into doing anything, but when you're kind of moving in this direction or doing work that is supposed to be quote unquote of the light or of service, you know, you have to really check your own motives every time, check your ego. Is what you're seeking, is it coming from your ego or is it coming from your heart? This, I would say, is definitely where using your own intuition comes in. Your intuition or your inner voice, it can be called the higher self. Some say that this voice is the voice of God. Regardless of what you call it, it's going to speak the truth. As I said in the definition of discernment, it's really a power to see what is not evident to the average mind. And this is what your intuition can do very easily. One thing I want to state here is that, you know, as you're kind of asking yourself these internal questions, what am I seeking and why, you don't need to necessarily try to rush this process, okay? Things take time. And I know we're in a society where there is instant gratification, but these are deeper questions here that we're trying to get to the root of. So don't rush spirit. And that's what my guide always reminds me. Spirit is never rushed. Really try to understand what it is you're seeking and why. So let's say, as an example, you're wanting to become a healer in some way, maybe Reiki or even pranic or sound healing, something like that. Ask yourself at the start of this, why do you want to become one? Why are you seeking this route? Do you feel called to this path? Have others recognized gifts and talents in you, and they've repeatedly told you so, or, you know, they've mentioned it several times? I mean, that's usually a telltale sign. If others see things in you or qualities in you that continue to come up in your life, that's usually a sign that spirit is pushing you towards that direction, or at least for your consideration. You know, do you feel called to be of service specifically in this way? And importantly, have you checked with your own higher self or your intuition when it comes to your true motives? It's not that difficult to hear the voice of your own higher self or intuition. All you have to really do is listen. And listening is a crucial part of discernment. Many times I've been told by the angels that I need to go within. Whenever I have a question, they tell me, go within, my God. I should have a t-shirt that says that. And the reason they tell you this, right? And the reason they tell me this is because my own inner voice, your own inner voice, it knows the truth and it's never going to lead you astray. And this, you know, goes for everybody that's listening. Your own intuition is your best tool of discerning anything. Let's talk a little bit more about hearing this voice, because many people ask me how to meet their spirit guide, how to hear their spirit guides, but rarely do they ever ask about hearing their own inner voice. And your own inner voice has the wisdom of all of your incarnations here on this planet and elsewhere, so it's quite knowledgeable, right? It's very well informed. How do we do this? How do we hear this voice? First things first, solitude. I'm sure that is not news to you, but that is extremely important. After solitude, finding a way to quiet the mind as much as possible. And of course, yes, I'm speaking here about a kind of meditation, but the kind where, yes, you are quiet, but then you ask your own inner voice a question. That's simple. Not that hard to do. Your job is to be quiet and then to listen. I'm sure you're wondering, like, oh, am I going to really hear it speak? Does it really work? Yes, it does. I do this quite often, and when I work with people, this is also what I help them to do, because this is a tool you need for the rest of your life. It's super essential. But once you're in this state of solitude and you've tried to quiet the mind as much as possible, when you're focused on, you know, this question that you might have, just ask. And then quiet and listen. You will hear it speak. For most, it's going to sound like a whisper. It's very, very quiet. What do they call it? The small, still voice within? It is exactly like that. Sometimes I feel like it's so much of a whisper because it's making sure that you're really listening. The answer that you get, it might startle you. And it might not be anything like you expected it to be. There are times when I've asked my intuition questions and the answer really shocked me. It was nothing that I had expected. And of course, it's going to force you to reflect even more. Thus begins the process. For many of you, or I shouldn't make this a general assumption, but for some people, and I should add this here, if you're listening to this, you might be saying, I don't want to meditate. I don't have time. Fine. but I do know that you definitely have time in the shower because that's something you do every day. And if you commute, then you do have time in your car. Keep in mind that spirit doesn't need 1 hour to answer your question. You don't have to sit for 30 minutes or 45 minutes for it to answer your question, okay? So even a few minutes of just being quiet and really asking. Secondly, this is something I do quite often, and I hope that you will consider this by the time we finish this episode. To really get in touch and work with your own inner voice, you can be in dialogue with your own inner voice, your intuition, higher self, all of that, the above. All you have to do is call it forth. Talk to it like you're talking to any other human being, like your friend, your mom, dad, whoever it is that you have these types of conversations with. And then ask your question. And then listen for the response. Just give it a minute. Don't rush and don't try to anticipate the answer. Just relax. That voice is going to clarify to you, why you're thinking what you're thinking, why you're asking maybe what you're asking, and it will tell you your true motives behind, what it is that you are either seeking, what it is that you are thinking or considering of doing, etc. It will clarify to you. And let me tell you in truth, the more often that you do this, the quicker you're going to hear the response. And even that sound, that voice, that very quiet voice will slowly increase. You'll hear it a little bit faster and it'll be a little bit louder. But your dedication and your commitment is super important. And also I need to state, this is a lifestyle change for many people. Once you start to focus more on your own inner spirit, and I don't mean becoming narcissistic, I mean really getting in tune with your own inner voice, your own inner knowledge, that own inner wisdom, that relationship is going to strengthen over time. So by actively doing, let's say, one or the other exercise, you're inviting the voice of your own spirit into your life, and you are activating that relationship. But your commitment and dedication is required. That's why, reflection and contemplation are super essential to what? Know thyself. Know your true intentions. Know your motivations behind things. Why do you repeat the same things, etc. Anyway, I'm digressing. Let's move on to finding your teachers. Another important thing as you move along in the direction that you choose. So let's say now you've discerned your own motives, what you're seeking and why you want to become a healer, etc. But now you need to find a teacher to guide you on your path. How do you find the right one? This is very tricky because scammers are everywhere. And we all know that everyone's intentions are not necessarily in alignment with spirit or even in alignment with your highest good. Many people are driven by their egos. They can, I would say on the surface, they can be all love and light, but internally they're motivated by something else. Now, throughout today's discussion or conversation, you're going to hear me repeat a lot of the same things here. So I know this can be a bit redundant, but what I'm saying, I feel like is there's a need to repeat it. We learn mainly through repetition, right? So usually when we meet someone, we have a feeling about them and we respond accordingly. That's kind of the norm, right? We pick up on people's vibes for the most part. However, many people are fooled because there are many great actors out there. There are many entertainers out there just wanting to take your money, deceive you, feed off of your fear, feed off of your low self-esteem, feed off of your loneliness. This happens all the time. We see this through a number of people, who end up creating these crazy cults or these crazy movements, and then we find out years later that they were doing all these, horrible things behind the scenes. So the question is, how do we discern what's right, who's right for us, who to work with, who to guide us, who to teach us? As I said earlier, to discern anything, you have to always check in with your spirit first before making really any decision, any It doesn't have to be a major decision, but any decision, it's always best to check in first to have your spirit guide you, to have your higher self, that inner wisdom, guide you. If you remember, that's if you were Christian in any kind of way, in the Bible, in reference to Jesus, we read that Jesus was always going off to pray, right? To go listen to the Father or listen to God, to be guided by that voice first, before making a decision, before going in a different direction, before speaking. He went off to pray for long periods of time. It's kind of the same thing here. It's not that much different, right? I mean, we don't know what those conversations look like explicitly. But for you in particular, it's going to be specific to whatever your question is, whatever you're trying to understand, right? That relationship that you're cultivating happens in that solitude, happens during that contemplation, happens when, yes, you're speaking, but then you're quiet to receive, to listen. Conversing with spirit, intuition, whatever you want to call it at this point, is so important for discernment so that you can hear the truth that is undistorted, right? Because as we operate in this world, everything that we see is going to be based off our own biases, by our own perception. And perception doesn't necessarily equate to truth. And that's why we have to go to source to guide us, to teach us. It's the same thing here when you're looking for your teachers, especially if something feels, if you feel very uncertain. Let's say the message that they're teaching or the classes that they're teaching seem perfect, but you're still uncertain. That's when you don't necessarily ask 20 of your friends, right? Instead, you ask your higher self, spirit source, whatever you want to call it at that point, to help you, to guide you. Now, I should add here that if you're naturally clairvoyant, then you actually might see images in response to your question. Spirit's going to work with the tools that you already have to respond to you. So if you're in deep contemplation and your eyes are closed and you're in that relaxed state of listening, spirit actually might show you things. So pay attention to that, or you might have a physical reaction to something. So spirit is using your clairsentience at that point to get the message across to you. Now, let's say you're listening to me speak and your response is, well, hey, I don't have clairvoyance and I'm not clairaudient naturally. And I also am not clairsentient. Then how am I supposed to, discern certain things? I completely understand. Everybody, I should state at first, everybody has access to their inner voice. No matter what, that is given as a gift to all of us when we come to this earth. That is what we check in to guide us. That voice is like our umbilical cord to the other side. It nurtures us, it helps us, it connects us to source. So let's say you are doing what I said, right? You go home and you have a question and you're trying to really get some guidance and you don't hear anything. That's fine. Do it the next day. And then do it the next day and do it the next day. And at some point, you will hear it. With that said, I'm going to give you another way to work with spirit to help you with discerning some sort of situation, or if you have a big decision to make, this should also help in this way. So if you are struggling, you can ask spirit to give you signs, right? Let's say, as an example, I'm talking to my higher self and I'm really contemplating becoming a medium, just as an example, but I'm very unsure, or that I'm contemplating working with a teacher, a mediumship teacher, but I'm uncertain about their motives. I'm uncertain. Then what I can actually say is, please give me one of two signs. If you support this decision, if this is for my highest good, then, in the following week, will you please show me three white birds? Three pure white birds. And if you don't support this decision, if this teacher or learning from this teacher is not for my highest good, then please show me three red birds in the following week. And then your job is to look, okay? Your job is to look. This can manifest in a whole host of ways. I've said this millions of times, but I will say it again. You might see three red cardinals on someone's t-shirt. You might see it on a billboard. You might see a sticker on the back of a car. You could see it on a postcard. It will come. Spirit is creative. It will find a way to get this message to you. And it's the same thing with the white birds. You might see it, again, on somebody's sweater. You might see it on a plaque somewhere. You might see it as a screensaver. I mean, the spirit will get the message across, okay? You might even, just as an example, I feel like my guide just told me this, you might even hear a song about three white birds or three red birds. Listen, your job is to pay attention. So if you're one of these people who's telling me I can't meditate or I don't have any gifts, etc., well, now I just gave you some help. So, you know, it's your job to do the work and to listen. Okay, let's go back to finding your right teachers or discerning whether or not this teacher has good intentions or bad intentions. Always, if the situation, if the class, if the certificate, what have you, seems too good to be true, then yes, trust your gut, of course, it is. If people profess that only they have the answers, that their way is the only way, that only they have access to the truth, obviously, bad intentions, run. If someone is constantly having to praise themselves, or if they, you know, need that round of applause, that constant round of applause, then you know that their motives are coming from their egos. If they feel a need to put you down, compare themselves to you, if they're condescending, then they're motivated by their egos. All right. Let's talk about finding your own tribe. This can be difficult because on this path, we want people to confide in when we're walking this path, right? Especially because it's, quote, different than the norm, than, you know, the standard spiritual system that's operating here. Spirit has a funny way of bringing people together for multiple reasons. Sometimes Spirit will put someone in your life that could be very negative, right, to help teach you something about yourself. Or Spirit may place someone onto your path to help you with discernment, to build those muscles. It doesn't mean that they're supposed to become a part of your tribe for life, but they're there to teach you something, usually to make you stronger, to make you more discerning, to start trusting your own inner voice, which is very important. How many times have you found yourself, you know, saying about somebody, I knew that, I had a feeling about them? Many times, most likely. But we ignore it anyway. Why do we do that? Finding your own tribe for this leg of your journey. In order to do that, again, it's the same thing. You have to converse with spirit. Meaning, you need to ask for God, spirit, source, the all, to bring those types of people in your life that are in alignment with your highest good. Whatever it is that you need to learn during, I don't know, the next, it could be a course of 1 year, 3 years, 10 years. Ask for that, whatever is in alignment with your highest good, and trust that source is gonna deliver. And usually this is gonna require letting go of some people in your life, people who have either been holding you back and you just don't see it or you haven't recognized it, people that you're just comfortable with, but they really shouldn't be in your life anymore. Or these people are just no longer aligned with your direction or with your vibration. Always keep that in mind. Then you might be led to take a class or go somewhere where you happen to overhear people speaking about the book that you're reading. Or people might be discussing something related to what you've been contemplating or seeking or praying about. Spirit has a very funny way of putting people together. So trust, and also be patient. Things happen at the time they're supposed to happen. And keep in mind that some people may only join your journey for really a couple of years. Some people might be destined to be a part of it, you know, your remaining journey. But chances are, you know, as we grow, we outgrow people. It doesn't mean that we're better or we're more elevated or we're more enlightened. Nothing like that at all. It's just that our direction changes as we learn. And our like goes with like. Vibration, two vibrations that are similar are together. They attract each other. Keep that in mind. All right. The very last topic that I wanted to speak to you about is discerning good spirits from bad spirits. I really didn't have any intention of bringing this up, but I felt like just talking about discernment in general, this topic doesn't really get much attention at all in this community. In this community, there's a lot of love and light, which is the goal. Sounds great, but let's be honest here. All types of energy, they coexist with us here on Earth and elsewhere. Yes, there's light energy and there's, you know, let's just call it denser or darker energy or mischievous energy. And I know that this makes people uncomfortable. Many people want, you know, just the, what is it, like the unicorns, the rainbows, the flowers, the cotton candy. I understand that. And this can be uncomfortable, but it's really truth. It's very true what I'm saying here. At least I can only speak to my own experience. How about that? Now, I think most people don't want to have these conversations or they don't share their experiences because they don't want to deter people from even moving forward into this type of work. And I understand that 100% because that's what I feel like the darker energy does. But I do feel like it is my job to inform and educate, and I feel like I would be doing you a disservice if I didn't speak about it. I've had way too many experiences with darker energies, and yes, sometimes they are super unpleasant, they're very unexpected, and sometimes, yes, they've really scared me, and I have contemplated walking away because in that moment, you're terrified, you know, and it's a challenge. And that darker energy wants to deter you from bringing forth that light, from helping, you know, people's consciousness to expand, from uplifting humanity, right? So our goal is to be strong and to be brave, but also to know that, of course, we are not alone, all right? When you first open the door to the spirit realm, all types of spirits are going to want to interact with you. That's just the norm. I've heard from many, many listeners, one of the first things that they say to me is like they're afraid to open that door because many people, their friends, their family members, church members, whomever, tell them, you know, if you open that door, you're going to let, you know, demons in, you're going to let Satan in and blah, blah, blah. I understand that. In a way, it's kind of true in a small way, in that when you open the door, you're opening the door to a lot of things, invited and uninvited. Yes, again, there's lighter energy here, light energy, and there's dark energy. And again, I know that's unpleasant to hear, but you don't really hear a lot of this in these love and light communities. And I feel like this topic warrants a lot of discussion. I've read stories, or some of you have reached out to me sharing your scary stories, and I can 100% relate. And I wish that there was a lot more transparency about it. Now, discerning the good from the bad is super important. I put bad in quotes. I should probably just say the light from the dark. It's important because you want to make sure that you're not being misled in any kind of way. Now, for the most part, many people assume that darker spirits have a certain type of look, right? And some do. I mean, there are a lot of stereotypes about it. But when you are trying to, let's say, meet your spirit guide for the first time, these darker energies, if they do approach you, they're going to look just like a human. They're going to look just like you and me. So there's, you know, there's not that stereotypical, like, darker red eyes and black clothing or what have you. They're going to look human. Your job, as Jesus also said, you know, is to test the spirits. Test the spirits. When you're approached by a spirit guide, I always tell everyone the same thing, so I'm going to tell you. You probably heard this and you're over it, but You have to ask them if they are in alignment with your higher self, straight up. It doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter who comes. That's the first question you ask them. Are they for your highest good? And in my experience, they've been honest each time. I have asked this to a few spirits who have approached me and they said no. And they left. If it makes you feel comfortable, you can always ask Archangel Michael to escort them out as well. I would say to you, in an idealized world, we could control who comes in and out, but that's not necessarily always the case. You will be approached by many, and it is your job to discern. That's why building that discernment muscle is very important. And yes, working alongside spirit to guide you as well, direct, is super important. Many people have these experiences, but they don't share them. And I understand that, because I don't necessarily share mine with everyone because I'm not trying to relive it after I've had the experience. And I've had conversations with my guides about why these things happen, because I know people who have these experiences, but I also know people in this community who have never had this type of experience. So sometimes I find myself getting mad about it, and I've argued, is probably the better word, with my spirit guide, you know, saying, well, why didn't you protect me? Why are you letting this happen? And he told me directly, like, this is your spiritual journey. These are things for you to learn. These are experiences you are supposed to be having. And while I don't like to hear that, I can accept that. But many people, when they have a frightening experience, they close the door. That's it. They're done. Right? Everything else that you learned is worthless all of a sudden, right? But our job is to learn how to discern light and dark. And yes, of course, you're thinking, what about psychic protection? Oh, of course. Yes, there is psychic protection. However, spirits still will approach you. It doesn't mean they can physically harm you, but they still will approach you. And sometimes that approach is quite unfriendly. So working alongside spirit, cultivating your own inner voice every chance you get, you know, whenever you're making any decision, going direct, whether you pray about it and ask for guidance, ask that your mind be guided, ask that your heart be purified to be guided, ask to hear that own inner voice. Practice, practice, practice. Rome wasn't built in a day. Things sometimes take time, but sometimes, boom, you'll hear it immediately. Sometimes I am surprised by what I hear when I am praying or when I am in contemplation, and that message is nothing at all what I was thinking, but when I hear it, I know it's true and it's undeniable. That's also a sign for you that you know it. It will be hard to challenge, and you will feel it in your soul. Anyway, you guys, I hope that this has been helpful for you. I just wanted to do kind of a small episode on discernment. I've just had many questions lately from people about finding like the right teacher, you know, not necessarily trusting your own judgment, your own decisions. How do we do this? And I just tell you that, you know, again, cultivating your inner voice, it's definitely a skill. It has to be practiced. But then learning to trust it also is a little scary, right? You're kind of trusting this unknown that may be taking you in a direction that you didn't think you should go in, or taking you in a completely new direction that you didn't expect. And there's a lot of uncertainty on this path. And we can call it the path of, you know, learning, the path of truth, the path of, I hate to use the word enlightenment because I think there's a lot of baggage associated with that word, but the path of evolution is probably a better word here. Anyway, everyone, I really hope that this episode has been super helpful, and I hope you have a great week ahead. Take care. Bye-bye.